بالله. أما بعد، to continue with our book أشراف الساعة by شيخ يوسف ابن عبد الله ابن يوسف الوادي. Finished the 43rd point. Cool. 43. So we're starting from point number 43. Is it? We'll continue from point 43. On the 43rd point, he said, "Kafratul nisa wa killatul rijal." From amongst the signs of the last hour, amongst the minor signs of the last hour, is kathratu nisa wa qillatu rijal, large number of women, wa qillatu rijal, and few men. So towards the end of time, the world will notice that men will increase in number and women will reduce in their number. Women will increase, large kafratul nisa, large women, large number of women. Women will increase in their numbers. I think I started with women. Women will increase in their numbers. Kafratul nisa wa qillatul rijal. And the men will reduce in their numbers. So if you go to a ward where delivery is taken, you see most of the children that will be delivered will be girls, 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 and very, very few will be boys. And it will increase like that over the time. At a point in time, it will be 5 girls to 1 boy, 10, 15, 20. And the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, until it will even be 50 to 1. 50 girls to 1 boy. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, min ashrat al-sa'a an taktura al-nisa'a. From amongst the signs of the last hour is that the women should increase in their number. Wa yaqilla al-rijal. And the men will reduce in their numbers. From amongst the signs of the last hour is that there will be a lot of women and there will be only a few men. Hatta yakuna li 50 imra'atin al-qayyim al-wahid. That to the extent that for 50 women they will only have al-qayyim al-wahid, only one man in charge of them. One man will be in charge of 50 women. May Allah make things easy for us. In another hadith, it is reported that the women will be following the men to the extent that if they saw the shirak, the strap of a shoe, they will imagine that it is a man. Women will find men scarce, especially in marriage, that when they see a shoe strap, they will imagine, how I wish this shoe strap is a man. That is that she can marry. Because men will be scarce. There are many ways the men are scarce now. Men are scarce from the angle that many men now don't discharge responsibilities as a man from their homes. Many men don't discharge responsibilities in their homes as men. So you find men, when their children go to school, they say, go and take the money from your mother. The children want to eat, go and meet your mother. The children want to buy some clothes to wear, go and meet your mother. And those men will take pride in that. So those kind of women don't find somebody Who is a qayyim for them? Who will take charge of their responsibility? So sometimes you may find husbands who will not behave like husbands. And sometimes you may not even find husbands for the women. Also because many men don't want to take responsibility today. I remember a brother once said when he wanted to get married, he told one of his friends in the class at the time as an undergraduate, "My friend, I want to get married." And the person said, "Why are you disturbing yourself? Are there no girls all around? Do you need to marry?" So it is common because they don't like to take responsibility. So the women will be there without people taking care of them. Nobody is in charge of them. And Allah did not make women, He did not create women to be alone. Somebody must be, they must have qayyim, mudir. The meaning of al-qayyim is what? Al-mudir. Women must have mudir, somebody in charge of their affairs. Even if that be their children who are boys, a woman must have a man in charge of her. So, but the time will come, women will not find men who will be in charge of them. So they will just be there to do anything, say anything, and then anybody uses them as he likes. These days, men, they do what they like with the women and throw them away. May Allah protect them. So from amongst the signs of the last hour is kafratu nisa wa qillatu rijal, large number of women and then few men. In the 44th point, he says kafratu mawtil faj'a. Kafratu mawtil faj'a. What will be widespread is that people will just die suddenly. Sudden death will be widespread. Sudden death. The widespread. You will see somebody who is strong, who is healthy, who is everything. The next morning, they say he has cancer of the... And that's all. Once they tell him you have cancer of whatever, it's as if he has been told the day of death. Cancer of the, and then he starts feeling afraid. And then issues of high blood pressure, heart attack. Somebody will be running, playing football. The doctor will say his feet is running, you just see him on the ground. Sudden death will be common. Somebody will be making khutbah, somebody will be making salah, and he's such that he will just die. He makes us be, he just die. I met a man once after Hajj. He told us that his wife was saying, "Labbaik Allahumma labbaik," and she died there on the day of Arafah. Perhaps, you know, her blood rose or something. The heart ceased and he died. How many times would we have heard? A man once said his friend and himself went into a place to greet somebody. And the friend said, "Please, can I ease myself in the toilet?" They say, "Yes, this is the toilet." He entered and he never came out. He died there. Where is he? And then they opened the door, they found out that he had died. Kafratul maut, or kafratul maut in faj'a. Sudden death will be rampant. There will be rampancy of sudden death. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith reported from him by Anas ibn Malik, said, "Inna min amarat as-sa'a," from amongst the signs of the last hour, "an yadhhara mawtul fajha," an yadhhara mawtul fajha, that sudden death becomes widespread. That hadith was reported by Al-Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam. That is the 44th point. The point that follows, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, "Wuku'u tanakuri bayna an-nas." Wuku'u tanakuri bayna an-nas. People hating themselves and disliking themselves. Disharmony coming among people. So you see two brothers, they are friends yesterday, today they are enemies. At-tanaku, dislike amongst themselves. People begin to hate themselves. Some of the ulama say this will be because each of us and our scramble for this dunya will be much. I know when people scramble for dunya, they soon become enemies. When people scramble for dunya, they soon become enemies. So you find situations where in the past when people build houses, you see 15, 20 people living within the same household. You see the father, the mother, the grandfather, the cousin, the uncle, everybody, huge house. When they cook, you think they have a ceremony. But now it is me and my wife. When your mother wants to come, your wife will say, ah, did she say she was coming today? Because there is this thing come, there is some dislike for people coming together. So they stand up. There are streets. Before, when there is rain, you can find somewhere you have a shade, go. But now, because there is fence and there are fences and gates everywhere. So when the rain starts, you just go inside the rain gently. These are the construction now, those in architecture and building. There is no place somewhere for anybody to stay near your house. You and your fence, inside your house, 24 hours. So you alone, your wife, your children, mashallah. So people don't even want to take with themselves their mothers again. People can't take their fathers with themselves again. They go and drop them in old people's homes. Or they look for a place for them and rent a young woman who will be taking care of their own mother. There will be tanako, bain al-nas, dislike, disharmony amongst themselves. If you find any two brothers now, very soon they soon become enemies. May Allah protect us. It's one of the signs of the last hour. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, "Inna bayna yadayha fitnatan wa harjan." Inna bayna yadayha fitnatan wa harja. It's certainly close to its time. That is close to the last hour. You will find fitnatan, trials, tribulation, wa harja, and people killing themselves. So the Sahaba said, "Radiyallahu anhu, al fitnatu qad arafnaha." We already understand what fitna is. فَالْهَرْجُ مَا هُوَ. What does الْهَرْجُ mean? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, قَالَ بِلِسَانِ الْحَبَشَةِ الْقَتْلُ. He says, الْهَرْجُ, with the language, in the language of Ethiopia, in Abyssinia, it means mutual killing, people killing themselves. And then he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, وَيُلْقَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ التَّنَاقُرُ. Yulqa bayna an-nas at-tanaqur. Mutual hatred will be thrown amongst the people. Allah will throw mutual hatred amongst the people. فَلَا يَكَادُ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ أَحَدًا. لَا يَكَادُ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ أَحَدًا. People will almost not know themselves. Relatives who should know themselves will not know them. Relatives who will know themselves do not know. Before, it used to be one big home. The son, the uncle, the cousin, the nephew, everybody together. But now it is the man and his wife alone. In fact, if that man has another wife, she will say, no, don't bring her here. That another wife is still a member of the family of the man. They say, no, not here. Go and look for another place if you know you want to marry another woman. At-tanaqur bayna an-nas. But in the past, as soft as women could be under the same man, they still would stay together. They would still stay together. I was brought up, I was taken care of by my stepmother. But today, people want to stay alone. People want to stay alone. Many of us who come from homes where we have more than one mother. Our stepmothers took care of us a lot. They cooked for us, they washed our clothes, they gave us baths. But now, women don't want more than one head under a roof. So the man starts from his mere salary, starts looking for houses about. Keeps one here, keeps one there. Starts running in between the two. We don't like to keep families again. May Allah protect us. Some of the brothers here lived in homes where they were large. They can't count their number. May Allah make things easy for us. At-tanakuru bayna Allah. He says, فَلَا يَكَادُ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ أَحَدًا. Some of the people will not even know them. Is this my brother? Is this? The 45th point, or the 46th point. It says, عَوْدُ أَرْضِ الْأَرَبِ مُرُوجًا وَأَنْهَارًا. عَوْدُ أَرْضِ الْأَرَبِ مُرُوجًا وَأَنْهَارًا. The Arab land returning to Muruj, a place with widespread vegetation, wa anhara, and river, as dry as that place is now, before the end of time, it will come back to have vegetation and a river. The Arab world will change geologically, and it will have river, and it will have what? It will have vegetation. Muruj, vegetation, and have a river and water pathway. But he says out, return. It means it had been like that. It had been like that before. Now it became a dry desert land. It will come back to be a place of vegetation. It is one of the nubu'at of the Prophet Muhammad. Not nubu'at. Nubu'at. Evidence of the Prophet being a messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, how did he know that the Arab world was full of vegetation and river? And in geology, they've discovered that if you dig down the Arab desert, as you find now, you see traces of river. There are towns, they dug. They found in archaeology also traces of river, widespread river. In fact, one of them was saying that the river was bigger than River Nile that passed through the Arab world. And they have a lot of them like that. So they say it will come back to be like that. And the scientists say that too. They say some ice are gathering now at the pole. They will move down. When they move down, they will change the vegetation of wherever they pass across. You have something to say. So the Prophet Muhammad says that is one of the signs of the last hour. Says, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تعود أرض العرب مروجا وأنهارا. لا تقوم الساعة حتى تعود أرض العرب مروجا وأنهارا. The last hour will not be established until the Arab world comes back to become a place with widespread vegetation and what? Rivers and oceans. That hadith was collected by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And the 47th point is Kafratul Matar wa Qillatul Nabat. Kafratul Matar wa Qillatul Nabat. Rain will fall repeatedly. وَكِلَّةٌ نَبَاتٌ. But the vegetation that will grow will be few. قَفْرَةٌ مَطَرٌ. There will be rain. Wide rain. Huge rain. وَكِلَّةٌ نَبَاتٌ. But the vegetation that will grow from the earth, out of that will be very few. Scanty vegetation. So this would mean that in Yoruba they say they have obeleko. Is it Ogbele or Ogbele? Ogbele. That is drought. Cool? Drought is not necessarily when there is no rain. Because here, there will be rain, but there will be no vegetation. People think that once there is rain, there will be vegetation. Allah. Allah brings vegetation as He likes. He only makes the rain to be a sabbath. And when he likes, the rain will fall and there will be no vegetation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he will. There will be rain and there will be no vegetation. Sallallahu anhu reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the Prophet said alayhi salatu, Laysat istanatu bi an la tumtaru. Laysat istanatu bi an la tumtaru. It is not
drought when it is not raining. It is not unavailability of rain that is drought. Ogbele. It is not because, oh, there is no rain. No, that is not the meaning of ogbele. It says, wala kinna sanata an tumtaru wala tumbitul ardu shay'a. But sana, drought, is that there will be rain, but the earth will not bring out anything. So it does not suffice for those who farm to request Allah to bring rain. It is not sufficient. Beg Allah to make what you grow, to what you plant, to grow. What you cultivate, to grow. Beg Allah to make it grow. To grow is from the power of Allah, not because there is rain on you. So if Allah wants to bring drought on a people, He will give them rain, but He will not give them vegetation. But among the signs of the last hour, says yumfaranna and yumfaranna mafran aman. People will have rain throughout the year. وَلَا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ شَيْئًا. But the earth will not grow anything. So there are the scarcity of food. Perhaps these are some of the muqaddimat of the coming of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Because when the Dajjal is coming, there are the scarcity of food. There are the scarcity of food. People will not be able to find what to eat easily. And so He will promise them that if they follow Him, He will give them food. So some of the people will follow Him for that reason. May Allah protect them. So there will be rain, but there will be no vegetation. Plants will not grow. That hadith was reported by Imam Ahmad in his Muslim. In the 48th point, he says, Hasrul Furat an Jabalin min Zahabin. Hasrul Furat an Jabalin min Zahabin. Furat is the name of a river. The English people call it River Euphrates. Euphrates. River Euphrates. This river crosses 2-3 countries. It starts from inside Turkey, it goes into Syria, it flows into Iraq, it connects with River Tigris, and then it falls into the Arabian Ocean. It starts from Turkey, it falls into Syria, then down into Iraq, it joins with River Tigris, and then it falls into the Arabian Ocean. This river is called River Euphrates. Arabs call it Furat. So he says, Hasrul Furat, this river will uncover. This river, it will uncover something. What will it uncover? Jabalin min Zahab. It will uncover a mountain, a rock of gold. This river will dry up and something will come from beneath it. What is that thing? Jabalun min Zahabin. A mountain of gold will come from River Euphrates. Some of the people say this is the reason why the Western world likes to take over places like Iraq. Because they want to wait for that gold that will come. Some say no, it is not gold. It is oil. Ulama say no, it is not oil. The Prophet says Zahab, and it will be Zahab. Alayhi salam. The Prophet says Alayhi salam. Zahabun, and it will be what? Zahab. That is what. Secondly, it says Hasrul Furat. The river will expose. Oil is not gotten by the fact that a river becomes dry and then they get oil. La. Oil is gotten deep down the earth. Thousands of feet down the earth. It is not that the earth will now uncover and then the oil will spill out. It is not. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the riwayah of Al-Imam Bukhari of this hadith, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that any of you who sees it should not take, فَلَا تَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Let him not take anything from it. It means it is something people can see, and an individual cannot go and explore oil. It has to be something deep down, not something that you want to take. The Prophet said, don't take anything from me. If Allah wills that you are alive at that time, when you see that mountain of gold, don't take from it. don't be invited to think that you have to take something from it. Don't take from it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يحتر الفرات عن جبل من ذهب. لا تقوم الساعة. The last hour will not be established. حتى يحتر الفرات. Until River Euphrates will be exposed. Will expose something. What will it expose? عن جبل من ذهب. It will expose a rock of gold. يقتتل الناس عليه. The people will fight over it. So some of the people interpret this to say that is why the Western powers are fighting over Iraq. China is fighting, US is fighting, and they all want control over it. Because the bulk of the part of this river is inside Iraq, River Euphrates. And you know what? Scientists have started reporting that the river is already becoming dry now. Nahr al-Furat. Go back and read about it. They started complaining that it is becoming what? Dry. So when it becomes dry, it will expose a rock of gold. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, يَقْتَتِلُ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ. The people will fight over it. فَيُقْتَلُ مِنْ كُلِّ مِئَةٍ. People will fight and kill themselves so much that from every 100, يُقْتَلُ تِسْعَةُ وَتِسْعُونَ. 99 will be killed. 100 people will be fighting. Nami go get her. From those 100, 99 will be killed. وَيَقُولُ كُلُّ رَجْلٍ مِّنْهُمْ لَعَلِّي أَكُونُ أَنَا الَّذِي أَنْجُو. As they fight, كُلُّ مِّنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَقْتَتِلُونَ. Amongst those people fighting amongst themselves, each of them will say, لَعَلِّي أَنَا الَّذِي أَنْجُو. Maybe I'm the one that will survive. Let me kill this one. Maybe I'm the one that will survive. May Allah protect us. So you will have, out of 100, 99 will be killed, and only one will be survived. Which each of these 99 that have been killed, each of them thinking that he will be the one that will be saved to take over this gold. That hadith was reported by Imam Muslim and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, or in their Sahih. The 49th point, كلام السباع والجمادات للإنس. السباع, predator, lion, leopard. They will talk to people. ذئب, هيانة, big cat will talk to human beings. والجمادات, and non-living things will talk to us. Non-living things will converse with us. Today our phones talk to us. So even when you don't have a call, your phone can be talking to you. Your system will talk to you. They say it is interactive. There's a boy, I think Philip, on the net. If you want to learn English language, you converse with him. Hello, how are you? He will blink his eyes and he will say, fine. It's a software. Say, hello, how are you? He will blink his eyes. You type it. You say, hello, how are you? He will blink his eyes. He will say, fine. What do you want to do? You tell him that. You are typing. You didn't say it. He say, I want to teach you English. They call him, I think, Philip or so. Now, Marvis or so. It's a young boy on the net. And it is not a picture of a human being. It is just a diagram. You see, this is a diagram. But when you talk, when you converse, like you send a text message, it will reply you by speech. And you will hear what it will tell you. So jamadat, non-living things will talk to us. Wasiba, and then predators, lions will talk to us. Animals will talk to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam made this comment when a Jew saw something and came back and told the Prophet Muhammad. This Jew was rearing animals, livestock. So a hyena took one and ran away. So he followed it until the hyena dropped what it held and ran away. So the hyena went and stood somewhere and started talking to this man. Oh, you pursued me and took away from me the risk that Allah has provided me. It was in the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Some of the ulama say shortly before the Prophet came, because of what that animal said. So the Jew said, has the world now turned to a place where now predators now talk to humans? He said, don't be surprised about that. Allah will soon raise a man. That is evidence that at that time the Prophet had not been raised as a messenger. See, Allah will soon raise a man who will talk to you and tell you things that will happen and things that have happened before. He will tell you things that will happen and things that have what? Happened in the past. So when the man came, he met the Prophet Muhammad. So he told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he had seen. And then the Prophet said, Sadaqa, that animal, that person had actually said the truth. He says, Wallazi nafsi biyadihi, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul. La taqumu sa'a, the last hour will not be established. Hatta yukallima sibaa al-ins, until the predator, until the big car will converse with human beings. وَيُكَلِّمَ الرَّجُلَ أَوْ وَيُكَلِّمَ الرَّجُلَ أَذْبَتُ صَوْتِهِ. And our thought, what we take as dharb, what with which people are beaten, the whip, will talk to us. Others say what the man ties on his waist like a belt, what is like your belt, will talk to you. So you have something on your belt, you press something, and you say, yes, you are coming, okay. Are you tight? Are you okay? We talk to them. It says, وَشِرَاقُ نَعْلِهِ, the rope, shirak, the strap of our shoes will converse with us. Our shoes, شِرَاقُ النَّعْلِ, the strap of our shoes too will talk to us. وَيُخْبِرُهُ فَخْزُهُ, his laugh will inform him. مَا حَدَّثَ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ أَوْ مَا أَحْدَثَ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ. The two are available. His laugh will tell him what his family was doing. بَعْدَهُ, behind him. يُحَدِّثُهُ فَخْزُهُ, his laugh will tell him what his family did when he was not around. Recently, a brother was telling me, you have a camera in your house and you can see your house wherever you are on your phone. You have a camera in your house and you are in China, you can see on your laptop or on your phone, your Android phone, what is happening inside your house. A brother had told me that before. He had 36 stores and he traveled a lot. So he mounted these cameras in the store such that he can be monitoring any store anytime without those people in the store knowing that it is their own store that he's monitoring. So everybody is behaving well because you don't know which store he will choose to monitor today on his phone. He said this 2-3 years ago. And less than 6 months, a brother was telling me, even there are wristwatches, when you wear it, there are people who will know where you are when you wear the wristwatch. The wristwatch is that when you wear them, some people have information regarding your whereabouts. They can easily say you are in social place. Likewise, our phones. These phones we carry about, as long as you are holding a phone, don't say nobody knows where you are. As long as you are carrying a phone, your network, MTN, they know where you are. And that's why some of the things that have happened in our country, some of the people are saying, if people want to get people, they will get them. Stop the noise. When you send an email, people can determine which, from where did this email come from. So all of these things should increase our iman that the day of Qiyamah is true. that Allah will bring back everything. Allah, there are, if you buy an Android phone, they will ask you in the Play Store whether you want voice recorder. And once you download it, all your phone calls will be recorded without prompt. It will not tell you before it starts recording it. All your phone calls. Not only that, you can even set the phone to be having a backup somewhere. As you record, there is backup. As you record, there is backup. So why do we doubt the fact that Allah will bring everything back on the day of Qiyamah? This is the sign we should believe it the more.
So amongst the signs of the last hour is that animals, predators will speak to us. يُخْبِرُهُ فَخْزُهُ مَا أَحْدَثَهُ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ.
His lap will be telling him مَا أَحْدَثَهُ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ. What are those things that his family are doing when he was not around? Everything will be recorded for him. I'm sure we'll not be in doubt that this is the time, cool?
May Allah make things easy for us. The 50th point, the Shaykh said, تَمَنِّ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَلَاهِ. تَمَنِّ الْمَوْتِ, people wishing to die, مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَلَاهِ,
as a result of a lot of troubles and trials, people will say. There will be no food, there will be no security, there will be no peace, there will be no... So some of the people will say even death is better.
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, فَيَأْتِ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ, a time will come to you. لَوْ وَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتَ يُبَاعْ لَاشْتَرَاهُ. لَوْ وَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتَ يُبَاعْ لَاشْتَرَاهُ.
A time will come upon you, يَأْتِ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ, لو, if it were possible, وَجَدَ أَحْدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, for any one of you to find death, يُبَى, that is purchased, to buy death, لَاشْتَرَاهُ, he will buy it. If he finds death being sold, لَاشْتَرَاهُ, he will have bought it. If there is a market where death is sold, people will go and buy death. Because of bala, because of trial, people will pay.
May Allah protect us. The Prophet Muhammad says, لا تقوم الساعة, the last hour will not be established, حتى يمر الرجل بقبر الرجل, until a man will pass by the grave of another man. فيقول يا ليتني مكانه,
and then he will say, يا ليتني, ah, sorry for me, مكانه, I wish I'm the one in his place.
يا ليتني مكانه. In a report it says, it is not because وَلَيْسَتْ بِهِ الدَّيْنِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاعِ,
it is not because he has debt. Some of the ulama say those who will say this are not those who are indebted even. A person does not have any debt, he will just feel tired of this dunya. This happens amongst the non-Muslims a lot. In places like Norway and Sweden, they have the largest rate of suicide in these countries, in Norway and Sweden, because they have everything. They have accommodation, they have cars, they have all the goodies of this dunya, but they don't have the peace of mind. And this peace of mind, nothing brings it like iman. Iman brings peace of mind, ikhwa, wallahi. A lot of people who commit suicide, they are non-Muslims. In Norway and Sweden, they have the largest rate of suicide in the world. And they have everything. They have everything. But they don't have sakina. They don't have sakina. So the man will think he will eat, he will drink, he will marry as much as he wanted, no laws restricting him. So what will remain? He will be tired of this dunya after some time. But because we perform salah, we make hajj, we make tawb, we have iman, we make qiyam al-layl, we make dawah. So we have something to engage us apart from food and drink and women. We are engaged. The mind is busy.
And then Allah brings trial for us, with which we'll be struggling to survive. But the trial that Allah gives them is the trial of comfort. Because He has said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Both availability and want in the sight of Allah are trials for the individual. So we will be trying, we'll be reading Quran, Qiyamul Layl, making azkar, we are doing something, but they are not doing anything. The man will sleep from 9 o'clock in the night to 9 o'clock in the morning. Nothing. No subhi, no zuhur, no isha, no sadaqah, no zakah. How will he enjoy the life? Wallah, don't think of life without salah. How is it? When you have not prayed, how do you feel? As if you have this masjid on your head until you perform that salah. Now think of life without salah. Think of life without wudu. Think of life without tahara. All these people, they suffer these problems. No tahara. No wudu. No tadarru' ila Allah. Begging Allah, Allah give me. Allah give me. All of these things bring sakina to us. No istighfar. Astaghfirullah. So they just eat, drink, women, and then what? They'll be tired of life. So they commit suicide.
May Allah protect us.
So sometimes we should thank Allah for our condition. Because some people have everything and they can't even leave this dunya. They have health too. Don't think, oh, they are sick. They have health. They have everything. But you'll be tired, sleeping every day. No salah, nothing. No soul, no fasting, no one. Some of our brothers who travel abroad, who don't have sittings to sit down to hear about it, they have problems. They complain a lot. Say, ah, brother, so when we're in Nigeria, we're enjoying. You go to one halqa to the other. It's enjoyment. So when you come here, you will know that you are enjoying. Because everything is available.
May Allah make things easy for us. تَمَنِّ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَلَىٰ. People be wishing to die as a result of trials and tribulations that Allah will put them in. The 54th point, it says, كَفْرَةُ الرُّومِ وَقِتَالُهُمْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. كَفْرَةُ الرُّومِ وَقِتَالُهُمْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تقوم الساعة والروم أكثر الناس. تقوم الساعة والروم أكثر الناس.
The last hour will be established when the majority of the people, the Romans, Europeans, you have the large population. Europe, you have the large population. تقوم الساعة والروم أكثر الناس.
The Prophet said, alayhi salatu. That hadith is contained in Sahih Muslim. It says, the last hour will be established, and those who will be much more on the earth will be the Romans.
The Roman Empire in the past had its center in present-day Turkey. I'm sure we know that. That was where they have what is referred to in history as the Byzantine Empire. We are coming back to it. Under Fatho Constantinia, the victory over Constantinople,
we are coming back to it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Tabzoon Jazirat al-Arab, Tabzoon Jazirat al-Arab."
You Muslims, you my companions, Tabzoon, and those who come after you, you will fight and conquer, become triumphant over the Arabian Peninsula.
That has happened. Go.
The entire Arabian Peninsula is under the control of Islam and Muslim.
He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَيَفْتَحُهَا اللَّهُ.
Then Allah will grant you victory on those lands. The summa fari. Then you will fight the Persians. The Persians from Iran, Iraq, down. You will fight them, فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ, and then Allah will grant you victory over them. That's also known in Islamic history. ثُمَّ تَغْزُونَ الرُّومَ فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ. After all of that, you will fight Rome, the Romans. You will fight them. The Muslims will still fight them towards the end of the last hour, before the coming of Ad-Dajjal. Those are the Muqaddimat of Dajjal. So you will fight them. You will fight the Romans. You will fight Ar-Rum. فَيَفْتَحُهَ اللَّهُ. And then Allah will grant you victory. And then he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, ثُمَّ تَبْزُونَ الدَّجَّالِ فَيَفْتَحُهُ اللَّهُ. Thereafter you will fight Dajjal. Ulama say this is evidence that the fight with Rome will be shortly before the coming of Dajjal. Because he followed it and said, ثُمَّ تَبْزُونَ الدَّجَّالِ فَيَفْتَحُهُ اللَّهُ. Subsequently you will fight Dajjal and Allah will grant you victory over Dajjal. That Ummah that will fight Dajjal at that time, at the front of it will be who? Isa alayhi. Will be in the front of the Muslims who will fight Dajjal, and Allah will grant them victory. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Kafratu Rome wa qitaluhum lil Muslimin. Rome, Banu Asfar. They are also referred to as Banu Asfar. Banu Asfar, the white, the children of the white. After that, he mentioned Fathu Constantinia. Constantinia. That's in Arabic. Constantinia. Constantinia. Constantinople. Constantinople was a city that was evolved by, they had an empire at the time whose name was Constantine in ancient Rome. At the time they had their headquarters in present-day Istanbul. Present-day Istanbul used to be the seat of the Romans at the time. So they had an empire whose name was Constantine. He was the one who built a new city called Constantinople. He named it after himself. The Emperor Constantine was the one who popularized Christianity. He was the one who popularized Christianity. You know what they refer to as the Nicene belief? In Nicene, I think 365, I think. CE, 325. Just to remember. 325, this emperor Constantine, he gathered the Christians and said, do a meeting. Tell me what you believe. It was at that time they started saying Jesus Christ is Lord and all of this they begin to say. So he was the one who established Christianity and really gave them space on the earth. The emperor Constantine. And you see that lasted until the Prophet came, alayhi salam. So until the Prophet came, when he said Rome, he was referring to the empire that was established in Turkey, present-day Turkey. So when Allah says Ghulibat Rum, this is the Rome that he's talking about. It is not Romania that people think, or Italy as people think. When the Quran says Ghulibat Rum fi adinal ard, in a place near you. So it is near the Arabian Peninsula, they were in Turkey, he was here. وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. After the victory over Rome, the Romans will still go on to emerge victorious. See, Bibu Istinin, after a few years, less than 10 years. So the Rome that was referred to in the history of Islam is the Rome that was established by Emperor Constantine. So he was the one who built the city called Constantinople. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us glad tidings that Constantinople, Constantine, and the entirety of their empire would still come under Islam. And it had actually come under Islam. Because we remember it even became the seat of Khalifa Cook up to 1924.
It became the seat of Khalifa up to 1924. But the ulama say what it meant was that we know after 1924 that they went back into other than Islam. They declared to employ laws other than the laws of Allah subhanahu. They became secular. In fact, we understand now that they even joined European Union or something like that. They spend Euro, they do so many things. They say they want to be declared as part of Europe. So ulama say at the end of time, when the time comes, there will be fat for Muslims and all of those areas will come under Islam. And in fact, the Muslims who will fight that area will be from Rome. Rome will be fought by Muslims. And there will be a lot of them who will convert to Islam. When they convert to Islam, they will form the bulk of the army that will seize Constantinople and place it under Islam. There's a lengthy hadith here I'd intended to read, but it will take our time.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in that hadith, he said that city will be under Islam without a blood being shed. The Muslims who will capture it, they will say La ilaha illallah, and half of the city will answer to them. Half will be handed over to them. And by their second statement, the other half will be handed over to them. And when they sit down to share the booties from that city, some people will come and announce to them that Dajjal has come out. So they will leave that and then attempt to face Dajjal behind Isa alayhi salam. As they move back to Sham, Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens. So you see this issue of Constantinople, yani present day Istanbul, is really, really among the last things that will happen before the bigger events begin to occur.
May Allah make things easy for us and protect us from fitna. I hope that point is clear. Fath Constantinople. The 53rd point, Khuruj al-Qahtani. Khuruj al-Qahtani. A man will come out, will emerge, whose name will be al-Qahtani. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يخرج رجل من قهطان. The last hour will not be established until a man from the Qahtan tribe. The Qahtan tribe is from Yemen. This man will emerge. يسوق الناس بعصاه.
He will gather people under a single rule. Al-Qahtani, he will come out and gather the people under a single rule. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, they all say Al-Qahtan, رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He will be a pious man amongst the people. He will rule with justice and he will establish justice on the earth. He will be from Qahtan. It is not well known amongst the Arabs. To the extent that if you say you are Qahtani, they respect you. Say, oh, from amongst you a pious man will come out towards the last hour, who will establish justice. All of these will be muqaddimat to the coming of Dajjal and Al-Mahdi. That's why you see he placed it amongst the last minor signs that will occur precedent to the major one.
Uruju al-Qahtani, the coming of al-Qahtani, the man from Qahtan. This man is not a man called Al-Jahjah.
There will be a man called Jahjah. Jahjah yakunu min al-mawali. Ulama say he will be among freed slaves. What Qahtan, they are not from mawali. So it's different from Jahjah. It's also different from Zulsuway Qatay.
We'll come back to that inshallah. The 54th point is Qitalul Yahud, the fight against Yahud, the Jews. We remember we mentioned that at the beginning of the discussion. Qitalul Yahud, the Muslims will fight the Jews towards the end of time. Some of the ulama say the Jews that the Muslims will fight, they are those who will be behind Al-Masih al-Dajjal. You know, Dajjal will come when he emerges,
He'll be followed by about 70,000 soldiers amongst the Jews from Iran. The Jews of Iran. They are there today. In Iran, there are Jews, Iranian Jews, from Khorasan. It is from around them that Dajjal will emerge. We'll come back to it. From where will he come out? Where is the fourth area from where Al-Masih al-Dajjal will be seen? That this is Dajjal. A young boy was born once with one eye. People say, is this Dajjal? It's not a little young boy. Dajjal will be a man when he comes out. It's not a boy that will grow. He's a man that is already existing, huge, big. And it is not as if he has only one eye. No, he has two eyes, but they will appear like one. One of them will bulge like an apple. That is the eye with which he will see. And the other one will be so tiny, having a fingernail in front of it. So because it is the big bulging one that people will see, that is the reason why he's referred to as one eye. It is not because he has only one eye. We'll come back to these ahadith and what ulama say about them, inshallah, in our discourse regarding Al-Masih al-Dajjal. But Al-Masih al-Dajjal will be followed from Khorasan by 70,000 Jews. Some of the ulama say this battle is regarding those Jews. Some say no, the battle is earlier than that. Whichever the case, the Muslims will fight the Jews as Muslims, as an ummah, and they as an ummah. And they will be so routed to the extent that the Jews, the rivers, the trees and rocks will say, Ya Muslim, Ya Abdullah, Ta'al, O Muslim, come. Come and see one Jew is hiding behind me. Some ulama say, how will those rocks and trees speak to a Muslim? They say, Allah will make them to speak. Allah will make them to speak because it is the time of mu'jiza. It is the time of miracles. And so many things will be happening upside down and downside up. So many things. Like when predators begin to speak to us, we know it's not normal. So many things that will not be normal will occur at that time. One of which is that the plants and the rocks will invite the Muslim to fight the Jew that is taking a hide behind it. May Allah protect us. These will be big fitan for the people of the time. The 55th point, نَفْيُ الْمَدِينَةِ لِشَرَارِهَا ثُمَّ خَرَابُهَا. نَفْيُ الْمَدِينَةِ Medina will throw out. Who will it throw out? شَرَارَهَا. The evil people that are resident in Medina. Medina will expel them. The city of Medina will expel the evil people that are resident inside it. How will it expel them? The town, the city will be so uncomfortable for them to the extent that they will say they are going out. So that will be the implication of the expulsion of those people from Medina. They will find life in Medina difficult. When everybody will say, oh, Medina is calm. Medina is cool, Medina is sweet, Medina is... They will be saying, ha, this place we can't stay, oh, you pack your bag and go away. That is also around the Salatul Rajfat. The Prophet also mentioned some shaking that will occur. Medina will shake 3 times and it will shake away all those who are munafiqun, residents in Medina. They will be thrown out of Medina. And a time will come when after Dajjal, there will be nobody in Medina. Medina will be a place without people. And some people will be passing by and saying, ah, this city used to have a lot of Muslims. So the Prophet even said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time after Dajjal, because when Dajjal comes and he will be exterminated by Isa alayhi salam will return to Medina. It is in Medina that he will die and he will be buried. Alayhi salam. So after that time, Medina will become hard, a town without people, and vegetations will grow everywhere. In fact, in a hadith, the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that prey, animals will come and urinate in the walls of this mosque. There will be nobody there. Medina will become a town where there will be nobody. So let's make haste to go to it now. May Allah make this easy for us. If you have the opportunity, make haste, make Hajj, make Umrah. A time will come, people will have all it takes, but they will not. Medina will not be there. And among the things we'll read last, Makkah too, the Kaaba will be destroyed. We'll come back to that. I think that is the last point. The Kaaba will be destroyed. So when the Kaaba is destroyed, and the Medina becomes a city without people, where will you go to? May Allah protect us. فَنَفْيُ الْمَدِينَةِ لِشَرَارِهَا Medina will expel evil people from inside itself. ثُمَّ خَرَابُهَا After that, it will be a desolated area. It will be desolate. Nobody is there. Some of the ulama say at that time, even Allah would have taken away all the righteous people on the earth. So what you find in Medina, beasts, lions and fox, they'll be moving around. And in one hadith, I was really surprised. So some of the pillars of the mosque, they will urinate there. You know, there's nobody there. You just find vegetation, leaves growing everywhere. And he has told us that that area will still come back to become a place of large pasturage. Because one of the things that will happen is that two men will bring their animals to graze inside Medina. They'll say, this town has become, nobody is living there, let our animals come and graze here. So their animals will be grazing. And when they go out of Medina, before they leave the outskirts of Medina, they will be killed. Some of the ulama say that will be the last hour. They will fall down dead. They will fall dead. The last hour will be established shortly after. So نَفْيُ الْمَدِينَةِ لِشَرَارِهَا Medina will expel the evil people who are resident in it. ثُمَّ خَرَابُهَا Thereafter it will become an abandoned area, Medina. The 56th point. ظُهُورُ الرِّيحِ الَّتِي تَقْبِدُ أَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ظُهُورُ الرِّيحِ التي تقبض أرواح المؤمنين. The emergence of a wind that will take away the life of the pious Muslims, the mu'minun, and the Muslims. In the report it says, nobody will have misqalu zarratin of iman in his heart except that this wind, rihun barida, cool wind, will take him away. Once he perceives it, it will take him away. This will happen after Dajjal, after Isa alayhi salam had lived, and the Muslims will live in peace, no disharmony. And then after that, for after 40 years, the rih will come. In a hadith it says, if a Muslim took asylum, went to hide inside a rock, this wind will go and bring him and take his life. So every Muslim, this is how they will die. Those who live till the end of time. Because the evil people will remain, and it is fire with which Allah will gather those people. Those who will remain after these Muslims will be evil people. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا تقوم الساعة إلا على شرار الناس. The last hour will not be established except over the worst of human beings. They will be gathered with the fire. And upon them the last hour will be established, the malak of book will blow the horn and it will be over. May Allah make this easy for us. ظُهُورُ الرِّيحِ أَلَّتِي تَقْبِدُ أَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ The 57th point, إِسْتِحْلَالُ الْبَيْتِ الْحَرَامِ إِسْتِحْلَالُ الْبَيْتِ الْحَرَامِ Why is Baytul Haram called Baytul Haram? Masjidul Haram. Why is it called Masjidul Haram? Does it mean a masjid that is haram? That is prohibited? It is called haram because it is haram to fight inside it. That is the meaning of haram. Masjidul Haram, the masjid in which Allah makes fighting what? haram. When you say haram, 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 that is what you mean. That here are no fights, no quarrel, no people carrying arms against themselves. So istihlalul haram, yani istihlalul masjid al haram, is that people will now make fighting their legal. Muslims will fight inside Masjid al Haram. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, no group of people will do that on haram. Let it be known. No non-Muslims will make istihlal. No non-Muslims can come and fight inside Makkah. It is not possible. Those who will do it are Muslims. And some have happened in the history of Islam. There are some people called Al-Qaramita in the history of Islam. They are people who emerged from Far East. They also ascribed themselves to Islam. They came to Haram, they killed people, they took away Hajar al-Aswad. Al-Hajar al-Aswad, they took it away. Al-Qaramita. They fought a lot of Muslims, killed, wasted lives and took away Al-Hajar al-Aswad. What was returned that you will find are broken parts of it. Do you know? It's the entirety of the stone, they took it away. What you find now are broken parts that they returned almost years later. Years later. Broken parts were placed in a mold. So that we still have some of it. مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. So that is what we have. Otherwise, as a stone, it was taken away by the Quran. And recently, I think in the 80s or late 70s, early 80s, a man came up there and says it's Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He went to Rukn al-Yamani, Rukn al-Hajar. He declared himself that people should take bayah from him. And he had brought some people in with some guns and things like that. Go back to history. Recent history. The recent history. So there was a war, there was a skirmish inside the Haram before they were subdued. The late 70s to early 80s, this happened. So they were subdued, a lot of issues on this. So it is the Muslims that should be making istihlal al-haram. May Allah prohibit Muslims doing this. May Allah not make us people of fitna. This is what people have become, you know, upon themselves. How do people go into Masjid al-Haram and then begin to fight people? But it will happen at the end of time. Istihlal al-bayt al-haram. وَهَدْمُ الْكَعْبَةِ. When that happened in the last time, the next thing will be that the Kaaba will be destroyed. هَدْمُ الْكَعْبَةِ. The Kaaba will be destroyed. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Kaaba will be destroyed by a man called ذُو سُوَيْقَتَيْنِ. ذُو سُوَيْقَتَيْنِ. You could be asked, who is the man that will destroy the Kaaba? His name is ذُو سُوَيْقَتَيْنِ. And he will come from Abyssinia. ذُو سُوَيْقَتَيْنِ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described him. He says he is Usaylī'i. He will be bald. No hairs on his head. This ذُو سُوَيْقَتَيْنِ. He said alayhi salatu wa salam, he will be Ufaydi'. He will have wrinkled feet. His feet will be wrinkled. He will be bald headed with wrinkled feet with bow legs. ذُو سُوَيْقَتَيْنِ. In some reports, it is mentioned that he will be black and short. He is the one that will lead those who will destroy the Kaaba. And after that time, the Kaaba will not be established again. It will be the end of it. Because after that time, the world will end. In fact, some of the ulama say at the time that the Kaaba will be destroyed, there will be no person on the earth that will say Allah. Nobody. Don't talk of Salah. Because at that time when this ghoul to a Qatain will do this, there will be nobody on the earth that will say Allah. وَعَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ فَعَلَيْهِمْ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ.
It is upon these people that the last hour will be established. This is the 57th point from amongst the minor signs of the last hour that Sheikh Yusuf compiled in his book Ashraat al-Sa'ah. And this is where I will stop, inshallah. All of these should make us know that the time is near. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. Allah says, اقترب للناس حسابهم. The time that men will account for what and how they leave this dunya has come near, has drawn near. وهم في غفلة معرضون. And they are turning away out of nonchalance. They are doing, I don't care, I'm busy, I will do that later. And here is the time so close to us. May Allah make things easy for us. Bi'idhni Rabbi, in our next class we'll start discussing the major signs of the last hour. Those are the big events, the mighty events that the entirety of mankind will see and observe. Everybody will feel it. Like we mentioned of Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Sughra, there are some of them that are restricted to locations. Some of them are restricted to a particular period. Some of them will come, they will go, and then they will come back again. But Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Kubra, they will cover the entirety of this earth. Everybody will notice. Everybody will feel it. Everybody will have the impact of Ashraf al-Sa'ah al-Kubra. Those great fitan that will come. May Allah protect us. May Allah make things easy for us.
So this is where I will stop today, inshallah. If we have amongst us those who have questions, let us ask.
In the next two Sundays, we will not have classes. Next three Sundays, we will not have classes. The next. We will not have classes. The next. Three Sundays, we will not have classes. Many of our brothers will not be around, and myself, or some of them. So, we'll commence our classes, inshallah, the fourth Sunday in April, I think. Because the third Sunday from now will be the Sunday that follows 28th. That will be 29th. So, we'll not sit on that weekend. The following week, the weekend that follows, inshallah. So for 3 weeks consecutive, we'll not. But when we resume, inshallah, we'll discuss Ashraat al-Sa'ah al-Kubra. And when we finish this book, inshallah, we'll read the book by Al-Imam Shawkani, Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya fi Masail al-Fiqhiyya. The book by Al-Imam Shawkani on Fiqh. How do we perform Salah? After having discussed issues of belief, we should discuss issues of fiqh. What is tahara? What is water? What kind of water does Sharia want us to use? How do we use it? What are the fiqh concerning water? What are the issues of najasat? How do we handle najasat? How does a woman handle hayd? How does she handle nifas? When she gives birth to a baby and she's bleeding, what does she do in Islam? What can she not do? What aspects of ibadah and all of these? We come to wudu. How do we perform the wudu of sunnah? We'll explain, inshallah. And then issues of salah and so on the issues of fiqh, inshallah. When we finish the book on Ashraat al-Sa'ah. Alaykum as-salam. What is the ruling on those who do not believe that Isa alayhi salam will not come back? Many of them are ignorant people. Because This is clear in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. It is not correct to just rule people like that they are non-Muslims. So the best of what will give them as excuse is excuse of ignorance. And they contradicting the large majority of the rest of the Muslims, including the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he sees children, he will tell them, "You boy, when Isa alayhi salam comes, maybe you will be alive at that time. Tell him that Abu Huraira is saying salamu alaykum to him." So if a person comes now and say he doesn't believe Isa alayhi salam will come, alayhi salatu wasalam will come, you see, he's contradicting the way of the Prophet and the way of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. Isa alayhi salam is alam, sign, symbol, لِلسَّاعَةِ, of the last hour. فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا. Don't be in any doubt regarding this matter. وَاتَّبِعُونَ. Follow what I tell you. So should any human being say he doesn't believe when Allah says he should not doubt? So we see people like that perhaps they don't have sufficient information. Unfortunately, when they want to prove it, they'll be quoting Luke and Matthew. They want to prove that Isa alayhi salam will not come. The Quran says he will come. More than 26 companions of the Prophet Muhammad all say that Isa alayhi salam will come. When a Muslim wants to prove that Isa alayhi salam will not come, contradicting all of these basic evidences, he will say Matthew, Luke said. Luke and Matthew, whose authors are unknown? Yes, most of the books in the New Testament have unknown authors. They don't know who wrote them. That is what he will use to contradict the Quran. نسأل الله سلامة الله عليكم السلام. A person that performs ghusl without wudu, can he pray without ghusl, with that ghusl? Yet he can make salah with the ghusl that you make, even if that ghusl is, because there are ways. The obligatory thing about ghusl is are two. The wajibat of ghusl are what? Two. What and what? And niyyah. You have niyyah that you want to have ghusl away from your condition of impurity. Not nawaitu. You will see the difference now. The difference, why this niyyah is important, is it will differentiate your normal ghusl, your normal bathing with soap and water and sponge with this. Because if a person is in a state of janaba or haid, and he or she makes ghusl, bathing in the house, istishmar, bathing in the house with soap and sponge, even if the water touches the entirety of that person's body, that person is still guilty of ghusl. Yeah, your ghusl is still waiting for you. Until you intend to have ghusl, that is when you have the reward of ghusl, because from the shurut of a'mal is that they must be preceded with what? Intention. Innama al-a'mal bi-niyyah. Work, every work must have its own intention. So if you don't have the intention for it, wanting to make ghusl, then there is no ghusl for the individual. He's still in a state of janaba. If it's a lady, she's still in a state of haid, as the case may be. That's the first thing that is obligatory about ghusl. The second thing that is obligatory about ghusl is isti'mam. Yani, an ta'ummahu al-ma, an ya'ummahu al-ma, that the water covers the entirety of his body. It's obligatory. Or even though some of the ulama say that does not mean that every nook, every point in his body must be covered. Once he puts the water on all of his body, it suffices. In fact, if a person goes into a river and comes out, it suffices. There's hadith on it. A person goes into a river and comes out without rubbing his body, it suffices as ghusl. He goes into the river and comes out. He had janaba on him. He went to the river and came out without swimming. He just dipped himself and then came out. If you have a water bath,
and you load it with water. You just went into the water bath and came out. Ghusl is sufficient for you. If you did that with the intention of ghusl. Every other thing are from either manduba, things that are allowed. Things that are allowed such that they beautify, they add value to your ghusl. Such as making wudu at the beginning of ghusl, the way you make wudu for salah. If before you make your ghusl, you make wudu, the way you make wudu for salah, and then you pour the water of the entirety of your body, is better for you. But if you don't make that wudu, and that is the brother's question, can you use the same ghusl for salah? Yes, you can use the same ghusl for salah, because you would have washed the entirety of the part of wudu in it. But ghusl, from its sunan again, after wudu, is that we do not use more than 4 handfuls of water. 1 mud. Go. One of the companions, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, was telling someone, and the person said, me, I have plenty hair. He said, the one who has more hair and more beautiful hair than your own is using that quantity of water. And that is the Prophet Muhammad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari made a tabweeb of this. Some people went to Aisha radiallahu anha to ask her, how will this water be sufficient for us to bath all our bodies? She said, let me show you. And she described to them how to use that quantity of water for ghusl. Radiallahu anha. So, from the sunan of ghusl is that we are economic with water. Likewise, wudu. He would not use more than a double handful like this, alayhi salatu wasalam, for his wudu. Handful. When you combine the two palms, a full of it, that is what he used, alayhi salatu wasalam, for wudu. How much do we use? And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ يَعْتَدُّونَ فِي الدُّعَاءِ وَالطُّهُورِ. Some people will be in my ummah. يَعْتَدُّونَ. They will go overboard. في الدعاء. Regarding dua. So you say, لا إله إلا الله الله. لا إله إلا الله الله. They will sing it. You dance. يَعْتَدُّونَ فِي الدُّعَاء. They will go overboard. They will go to extreme on dua. وَالطُّهُورِ and purification. Ulama say one of the ways in which people go overboard regarding purification is to use excess water. Some of our brothers will be making wudu, they open the tap. The tap is running. Would they not have used more than a double handful? And the companion who asked the Prophet Muhammad, he said, what if I'm using water from the river? The Prophet says, Wa in kunta ala shati'il bahri. Even if you are beside a river, don't use more than that. Alayhi salatu. So it's not unavailability of water. Some people with dead heads can say, oh no, it's because during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no sufficient water. So somebody says, one of the companions say, what if I'm near a river? He says, what if you are in beside a river, sharp in Bahai, you are on a beach, don't use more than that quantity of water. So it's not because there is a desert. You know, in those days, don't bring that kind of story to us. So from the sunan, some of the ulama consider this as from wajibah, not to use excess water. Because using excess water is a sin. He calls it, he says, yeah, tadun, they'll be going overboard. Going overboard. He says, inna Allah la yuhibbu al-mu'tadi. Allah does not like those who go overboard. Inshallah, we'll discuss these matters in greater details when we read a book of the Quran. Alaykum salam. You say what? You are taking? You are able to note. Most of the phenomenal occurrences. that most of the major events will happen. Yes. Yes. Because he said it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, al-fitnatu min ha-hunak. The fitna will be from there, and he was pointing to the east. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Since his time, the great fitan that the world has known come from the east. Yes. He say what? This is part of the fitna. It's part of the trials and tribulations. That the people, we were discussing, he said it, alayhi salatu, kasratul harj. A lot of people killing themselves to the extent that the one who kills will not know why he killed. The one who was killed would not know what did I do that they killed. May Allah protect us. That is not to say there is no killing in other parts of the world. Do you understand? Okay. It is not here that we will discuss that one. It is not because it is not an issue to be discussed, but because the time we have will not permit us to discuss it. But fundamentally, as you ask, the Shia started as a group of people, as the name goes, Shia. Shia means supporter, people behind a particular person. So their full name is Shia and Ali, those who took partisanship and groupism behind Ali ibn Abi Talib. That was how harmlessly it appeared when it started. But they became a group of people who even called Ali ibn Abi Talib Allah. And he burnt them, some of them alive, some of them ran away. They have different groups amongst them. Some of them taking Ali to be God. Somebody say no, he was supposed to be a messenger, but Jibreel alayhi salam cheated Ali. They have all these kind. Yes. They say, Khan al-Amin al-Risala. Al-Amin. Who is Al-Amin? Jibreel. They say, Khana. What is Khana? He betrayed the message. May Allah protect us. When Allah referred to Jibreel as Al-Amin, Rasulun Amin, the Shia say that Jibreel is not Amin, is Khain. May Allah protect us. They have other beliefs closer to Judaism because it was originated by Abdullah ibn Saba, who was originally a Jew who came in to pretend to be from amongst the Muslims. He ran away when he saw that Ali ibn Abi Talib was killing those people. Ali himself, radiallahu anhu. So it snowballs. They have over 73 sects amongst themselves. Over 73 sects amongst the Shia. Those are some foundations. About Allah, they have some evil beliefs too. They believe that Allah does not know everything. They call this belief al-bada'a. The fact that at the beginning Allah does not know everything until it becomes apparent to Allah, then he will know it. A'udhu billah. And other things, from amongst which is declaring the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum to be non-Muslim. They said they renegated after Islam, after the Prophet demise alayhi salatu wa sallam. Those are some foundations. Those are evil. The people of Sunnah, it means, Sunnah means the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you like to call them, those the party of the Prophet Muhammad. And the one that Allah has sent to us was the Prophet Muhammad, not Ali ibn Abi Talib. Jibreel did not make a mistake. And Allah knows all things before they occur. Even when Allah told the angels he wanted to make Adam, they said to him, why do you want to create those who will spill blood on the earth? Is it not? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْتِدُ فِيهَا وَيَفْتِكُ الدِّمَا. The angels knew before he created Adam. Why will Allah not know? And Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So if the malaika knew that when we come to the earth, human beings will spill blood. If the malaika knew, then it is with a greater reason that Allah knew. And Allah actually knew, because he still told them in the same passage, Alam akullakum inni alamum. Did I not tell you that I knew what you don't know? Do you understand? So those are fundamental differences amongst the people. Some people make jest of this, thinking that they are being allies. They are being allies in ignorance. When they talk about it, they say, don't bring issue of Shia and table. So the issue of Shiism and Sunnah is beyond issue of which people make a jest and say Shia and table. When a person begins to say Allah lacks knowledge, Jibril made a mistake, he deceived, and all of these, it is beyond. In fact, some of the scholars may make tabi or tafil of somebody who makes that kind of a jest, because al-istihza'u bid-deen min al-kufr, making jest of the deen is from the aspects of disbelief. So people should stop making jest at these matters. It suffices for an individual to be silent regarding a matter he does not know about. Alaykum salam. You say what? People. Yes. The hikmah is that you should pray. It wants you to make dua. It is urging you that no matter the circumstance, no matter what you think is written for you, make dua. And if there is anything negative, it will change. But the fact remains that even that dua itself is part of the qadr. If you don't understand it, just leave it. It suffices that you believe it. Alaykum salam. Those who are certain. Is those who are certain a Muslim or a kafir? I search for this, but I don't have an answer. Because this is from the aspect of ghaib, what we don't know about. So except we have a hadith that is authentic that indicates that he will be a non-Muslim. Otherwise, I don't know. Alaykum salam. We've been prohibited to bury our corpses inside our houses. When people bury their corpses inside their houses, should we pray in such houses? No. Don't pray in such houses. Go and pray in masajid. To pray in mosque. But when you talk about nawafil, you also avoid it from those kind of places where, in fact, some mosques, they bury the imam. They say it's the first imam of this mosque. There are mosques in China, like that, in Beijing. They bury some people there. Alaykum salam. If the place where the individual was buried has been cut off from the building, then there's no issue. But you must avoid facing it as a direction of Qibla. It must not be in the direction of your Qibla. Alaykum salam. You say what? Alayhi salatu wa salam. That's what? Is there a hadith authentic from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam that when we have a newborn baby, we should make adhan here and iqama here? No, me, I will ask this one today. Is there authentic hadith? Alayhi salam. Is there authentic hadith? Is there an authentic hadith that if you have a child, you should make adhan on one ear and then make iqama on the other ear? Is there an authentic hadith? There is no authentic hadith. The hadith that occurs on it, the hadith of Abu Rafi', is hadithun munkar, next to mawdu'. So it is not correct. It is not correct to make adhan and iqama on the ears of your baby. It is not correct. Now, a vehicle outside, around where? You say what? I didn't see any information. BQ 729. The above number of a car has just been hit by Koroke outside. 729. BQ. I think from our subsequent classes, some of our brothers should help us to park our cars well. We should help us on how we park our cars. We could be better organized than this. Some of the brothers should volunteer when they will come early, and when the people come, they'll park their cars properly, and then they take care. Even the bikes could be taken down to areas like this that are spacious, and then we'll be sure that they'll be taken care of. Because I'm sure people of evil, when they see cars and bikes parked like this, they'll be looking with evil eyes. Evil eyes include the eyes to steal. Evil eyes include the evil urge to steal, to deprive a valid owner of what rightly belongs to him or her. So some of our brothers could volunteer to do that for us, and to really go a long way in avoiding some of the things that are actually avoidable. Is it permitted to fast or give on one's date of birth? No. Give it on another day. Don't give it on the day of your birth. Don't say, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted on the day he was born. He was fasting on the day he was born, so that you too will fast on the day the Prophet was born. Not so that you will fast on the day you were born. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted on the day he was born for you to follow him and fast on the day that he was born, not on the day that you were born. Can a woman wipe her socks when it is torn in the place of the other? Yes. If you have a sock that was torn, it has areas here, you can still wipe over all those areas if it falls under the areas where you should wipe. Don't forget that it is the instep that you will wipe. Not under the sock, not your heels, your instep, the frontal part of your leg. That is where you will wipe. Whether the sock is completely covering your leg, or whether that sock is, you know, caught in some part. That is the position of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and it has asar from the companion. Can one carry Quran or read it without wudu? Yes, even while a woman is menstruating. She's allowed to touch the Quran, she's allowed to read the Quran. What she must make sure she does, is that the head should not be on her hand, such that she touches the Quran with najis, because dammu haid is part of najasat. So she must be careful about making it to touch the Quran. The hadith of Aisha and the hadith of Ummu Salama that some of the people employ to say that if a woman is menstruating, she should not touch the Quran, those ahadith are very, very weak narrations. They are not strong enough to prohibit a woman from touching the Quran. Allahu Alam. I think it suffices that we stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك امين دكتور